and revival has not come, and we wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedom that you and I have known?
And glory to God, aren't you glad he's God and he has not changed? His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we want to say welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get the show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight, preliminary announcements, as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have, or regarding the programming here, or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do at your fingertips, F-E-E-L. Letter N as Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at Gmail. You're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth. @gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line. And we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, never have had what she really knew, what she could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. It's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's paypal.com. And in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you entered that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are blessed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we have Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. It's usually pretty crowded, but we know they're there. We got you, Sister Emily, or Dad, and me.
All right. Well, Sister Emily, how are you doing tonight?
Feeling with my toes.
Is that right? Not feeling with your hair tonight?
No.
So you're not feeling with your hair?
No, I'm feeling with my toes.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to learn to feel with your hair.
That's weird.
No, it ain't. It could be done. You just got to learn how to do it.
Don't know how to do it. You'll have to teach me.
Yep, I have to teach you. It's one of those blind. It's one of those blind techniques.
And don't mind the crunching in the background. I got pussycats loose.
All right. Well, tonight, Em. First off, we'll just see if you got any prayer requests.
From my neighbor down the neighbor downstairs. For her sister-in-law, she's at ACMC. They found she had some blood clots around her lung, around both lungs. Also for her, that it'll got to work it out to where she could get her kids back with her on a full-time basis.
All right.
Also for me, because I'm not feeling that kosher tonight.
No, so you're a pork chop tonight.
Haha, smart aleck.
All right.
Keep it up, you're going to get it.
I'm always going to get it. That's the fun part. All right, well, tonight, Em, we got a good show for you lined up. And for all our listeners, we just finished the series that Lila requested. Now we're doing a new series. Do you remember David in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to be doing an in-depth study on David. So it's easy to remember the name of this series. It's just David. And this will be David Part 1 that we'll be doing tonight. And we're going to start to study out the life of David, how he became king, and how all of that fun stuff began. And we're going to work our way through and see where David messed up. Now, everybody knows about David's big sin, but was that the beginning? As we do our study, we're going to find out, was that the beginning of David's fall from grace? Okay? So everybody want to keep their ears peeled as we do this study. We'll find out, was that the beginning of David's downfall, or did he mess up before that? So it'd be interesting for you to see that. So we'll be studying out David Part 1. And then tonight, of course, in the midst of that, we have, of course, 6. He's coming down to the last 4 times of doing the song and poem. So tonight, does he continue with the good buzzer, or does he get the bad buzzer tonight? And if he does get the bad buzzer,
may use sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD, etc. So you want to be watching for that. And then after we're done with the study on David, then we have Ruth coming in with her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
We got Christ, our coming King.
Ooh, and that is so interesting and so good. We will be having Christ as our coming King, and aren't you glad for that? So we'll be hearing about that and what that entails. Christ, our coming King, you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then, of course, after that, we open up the mics for those of you, our listeners, who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. And you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation. You'll be able to answer our question of the day, which neither has a right or wrong answer, but is based purely upon your own opinion. And then after that, we close with a word of prayer. I might decide to twist Emily's arm, so we'll see how it turns out tonight. Might hurt a little bit, Em, but we'll see.
You
I might let
not.
You off.
I have to meet you.
I might let you off, so you just be in prayer, and we'll see if God answers your prayer if I let you off tonight. Okay, and then after that, we'll end with a Red Sylvine song, as always. And so we're going to have a good show. So everybody wants to stay tuned. And then, of course, as always, you not only have to have the show for tonight, but you can always download it using your phone, going to the podcast section of your phone, and typing in Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, Radio, RADIO, and then clicking subscribe, and then you could get not only this show, but all the other shows throughout the week right there on your phone for your listening pleasure. And this way you can get all the scriptures, go back and listen to them when you are able to take and go over and over the scriptures and be able to have them for your listening pleasure. Amen. So is everybody ready for a good show tonight?
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
If you twist my arm too hard and you hurt it, then I guess I could get out of homework tonight, huh?
Yeah, well, the nice thing about our show is you don't get homework. Ain't that something?
Yeah, but I do have some homework for my counselor. So if you twist it too hard, I can get out of it.
Ah.
Well, be nice and let her get away with it this time, honey. I mean, I may eventually, if you guys want homework real bad, I'll give you some.
Ah. We might think about that. All right. So, all right. Is everybody ready for a great show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go. Yay.
All right. So here we go. And get out your pad, your pencil, your quick note, your brailler, in the case of Ruth, a slate and stylus. So that way we'll be ready for a good show. You can take your notes and have them as we go, as we get into our first part of David, part one. Amen.
So you called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your favorite story about David? Why? What is your favorite story about David and why? But right now we're going to get into our topic, and we are going to be doing a series on David, and this is David Part 1. David Part 1. And our first scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verses 1 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verses 1 through 23.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And I called Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit, the Lord, troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Saul said unto his servants, divide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. It came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
Now, as you can see, there's quite a bit of meat here in this chapter. As we start out and hear about the very beginnings of David, where he's first mentioned, and we're going to go now slowly through this chapter alone, and we're going to see what God has to say and get the meat that we need to get from it. Amen. So our first little section that we're going to study in is found in 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 3. 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 3. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee.
The first thing we learn is Samuel, being a prophet, told by God that Saul, because of his disobedience, was out of favor with God. And Samuel, was mourning for that. And God tells him, hey, why are you in still mourning for Saul? Look, fill your horn with oil. Get ready. I want you to go anoint, and I want you to go to Bethlehem. He tells him where to go to find the next king. And, of course, Samuel saying, well, wait a minute. What if Saul hears it? Oh, he's going to get all upset, and he may even try to take my life. And then God says, well, I got provision for that, too. Act like you're going over there to sacrifice. And when you do, not only do I want you to go to sacrifice, and I'm telling you the town to where you're supposed to go, but I want you to bring Jesse, the father of a particular family, Jesse, to the sacrifice. And then of his family, the man that I shall name, the one I shall name, is the one you shall anoint. Okay. Now, we're going to continue with our next scripture, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice.
Now we find Samuel. What does he do? After he was commanded what to do, he does it. He goes to Bethlehem. He takes his sacrifice. The elders say, hey, what's going on here? They're a little bit afraid, wonder what he's doing there. He says, I'm come to sacrifice. Sanctify yourself. Set yourselves apart for God's service here, because we're going to have a sacrifice. They do. And he calls Jesse and his sons to that sacrifice. Amen. All right, and our next scripture passage is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 through 10. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these.
And now we find the sons of Jesse starting to parade by. The first one comes by, and Samuel looks at him. Oh, boy, he's a nice, tall, ruddy, strong, good-looking man. God must have this one as his choice. Man is the one that looks on the outward appearance. How many times have we as people look on people's outward appearance for what they wear or whatever, all because, well, if they're dressed real good, they got lots of money, we want to be their best friend. But if they got poor, shabby clothes, we'll push them to the back of the church. Because why? They must be poor. And if they ain't got money, we don't want nothing to do with them. But what did God say? For man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. How many poor people could be out there serving God, doing a lot better job than some of those rich, wealthy people if they were given a chance? So the sons of Jesse parade by, seven of them. Can you imagine how annoying that must have been to Samuel? Seeing all these boys parade by, and God says, nope, not him. Nope. Not him. Nope, not him. Nope, not him. Can you imagine that? He must have been getting discouraged by the seventh one. And that's what we find. All right, and our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 16, verses 11 and 12. 1 Samuel 16, verses 11 and 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Samuel said unto Jesse, here are thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Now you notice, finally Samuel says, hey, after the parade of boys went by, and God kept saying, nope, not this one. He says, is this all your children? Jesse, is this all your children? Is this all your boys? Jesse says, nope, got one more. But he's tending the sheep. Basically, he was a shepherd. The lowest on the totem pole, so to speak. And Samuel says, because of the warning that God gave him, hey, he didn't say, well, I ain't going to ask you to bring him in here because he's a shepherd. Oh, well, fooey on that. Must not have been him. No, he says, we're not going to sit down. Go send for him. Bring him here. And when David appeared, he was good to look upon, etc. Point was, God spoke up and says, that's him. And so David was named of the sons of Jesse. Amen. All right, now let's take a little review of where we've been thus far in the chapter. So we're going to go to the text, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 12, but before we get there, we want to remind everybody that after this, Six is going to do the song and poem, and he is 17 for 22, and he has two good buzzers in a row. Will he make it three in a row this week? Will he make it three in a row and make it 18 for 23 and make it three buzzers in a row, good buzzers? We'll find out, but back to our recap of the opening so far of 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
So as you can see, this is an opening part. It talks about Samuel being told to go find what would be the next king of Israel. And he goes, Jesse and his sons, and it is David who is chosen. Amen. But now it is that time to turn the mic over to Brother Six and see if he could tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
My dog is a shepherd, just what I want. She maketh me to rise early every morning. She leadeth me beside garbage cans and parking meters, and she restores my freedom. She guideth me in the path of safety for my life's sake. Yea, though I walk through the thunder of the railroad station and among the mongrels of Flagler Street, I will fear no evil, for she is with me. The creak of her harness and the jingle of her collar, they comfort me. She prepareth a way for me in the presence of all confusion. She covereth my hand with affectionate licks and nibbles, and my love for her runneth over. Surely with affection and correction I shall follow her all the days of her life, and she will dwell in my heart forever.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
Well, Ken. A very familiar passage in the Bible, Psalms 23, the Lord's Prayer. I believe that is a tribute from the master of one's dog passing. And even dogs will live on in heaven. God loves the animals too. So that's what I believe the correlation was.
Well, that's a good point. God does love the animals too, and they will be in heaven because there are scriptures that tell us that. But unfortunately, that's not what we're looking for. There's comfort in the Psalms because who will abide in thy tabernacle comes from Psalm 15, and the poem was a redo of Psalm 23. You had that right. Amen. Time. We know it shouldn't work for a while. Maybe next week it'll stay blowed up for you, all right? So, well, we get three more tries. You get three more tries for you to do this, and then we'll be bringing Pastor Bonnell on. So we'll see how you, if you end with a bang.
Yeah, three more. After this, have fun with it, Bonnet.
All right, and so for right now, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen.
Programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Today, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And glory, hallelujah, we're back. And I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. Especially at the end of our broadcast, you'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your favorite story and why? What is your favorite story about David and why? Amen. But right now we're going to get back into our topic of David, specifically David Part 1. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well.
Before the break, we found that Samuel had David was named. Here we find David is anointed in the presence of his brothers. Can you imagine all his brothers standing there, seeing Samuel anoint him as the next king in their presence, and him being the shepherd in the family? They're probably looking at him, yeah, right. Why him? Why not one of us? They're probably looking at Samuel like, you traitor. Why him? Why not one of us? I can imagine the conversation going on. And Samuel said, God told me. So close your trap. Amen. I can imagine him saying that. Close your trap. God said this is the one, and that's the one I'm anointing. Too bad. So sad. And then from that very moment, at that very instant, you notice at that very instant, an evil spirit began to trouble Saul. The minute David was anointed, that very instant, the evil spirit starts to affect Saul. His people, his men, noticed it, and they knew it was an evil spirit. They didn't say, oh, well, you must be sick, or you just having a sad countenance, or whatever. No, they knew it was an evil spirit right from the very beginning. And they said to him, why don't you find somebody who's a cunning player on the harp? They knew that it was harp music, not cymbal music or trumpet music or flute music or whatever. They specifically said harp music. Get someone who's cunning to play the harp. And when he plays with on the harp, you, the evil spirit, will be appeased, and you will be well. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 17 to 19. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a man, a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep.
So Saul did do what his servants, his men, told him. He took their suggestion and said, okay, yeah, go ahead. Find a person who could play. And they said, hey, we know somebody. One of the sons of Jesse. He's not only good to look upon, he's not only, hey, he's a man of war. Now, how do they know he's even a man of war? He's been a shepherd. He's been a shepherd. David had never been at war before. Well, the reason they knew that he was a man of war was because of the way he was built, the way he looked. They knew that if he had the chance to be at war, that he could have been a good soldier. They said was, he's a man of war. And this is the man for you. So Saul sent for David is what we find. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel 16, verses 20 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 20 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
And you notice Jesse sends David. And then David, when the evil spirit comes upon Saul, he plays. And Saul is made well due to David's playing. And Saul makes David his armor bearer. Amen. All right, now we're going to do a little recap as we read in our next scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Paul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse any saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
Now, if you notice here, of course, was anointed finally as king. And then after he was anointed king, Saul at that very moment had been hit with an evil spirit. His servants say, let's find somebody who could play on the harp. He says, okay, let's do it. And when Saul said, let's do it, they go, they get David, bring him before him, make David an armor bearer, and he plays before Saul, and Saul is made well. All right, and now let's recap the whole thing together as one piece, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 23, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Find thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? Saul, hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town troubled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made several of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, and are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. He sent and brought him in. Now as he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubles thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning prayer, a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, behold me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in play, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, which is without the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in thy sight. For the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that God took a harp and placed with his hand. So Saul was refreshed, and it was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
And so, as you can see, the main thing, the main highlight here is David being anointed king over Israel. Amen. But right now, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or answer our question of the day. What is your favorite story about David and why? What is your favorite story about David and why? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for station ID and a few other messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Ashtabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-FOR1KATIE@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Tribulation. When the seven seas are broken, and the seven vials are open, and the seven trumpets sound.
Christ, our coming King. There's much misunderstanding and confusion in the world today about the future position Jesus Christ will hold in the coming millennial reign. This continual chain reaction of religious pandemonium among lay Christians and ministers as well stems from the fact that there are three major compelling thoughts relative to Christ's position in relationship to his responsibility to mankind and this present world system. No doubt, you've heard ministers tenderly ask the questions near the close of their sermons. Is Christ the great king of your life? Is he the king of your heart? Really, you better know that, because right now Jesus could come and you don't want to be left in the tribulation. So I'm going to pray with you. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I thank you, Lord. Amen. That's all you have to do. And you're going up in the rapture of the church. Such questions are theologically incorrect. They're out of place and do not dovetail with the overall plan of God relative to the culmination of mankind's stay upon the earth and the coming reign of Christ. For instance, there are two special groups of people, one of them known as post-millennialists, and there is known as amillennialists. So just be careful of these here. The post-millennialists hold to the view that the kingdom of God is presently being extended in the world through the preaching of the gospel. Eventually the whole world will become Christianized, and then Christ will return to rule on the earth. The amillennialists teach that the Bible does not predict a millennium or a period of worldwide peace and righteousness on this earth before the end of the world. The teaching of amillennialism is that there will be a parallel and contemporaneous development of good and evil in the world, both working at the same time. God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, which will continue in this fashion until the second coming of Christ, when Christ will set up a perfect kingdom. We'll have scripture on that. Well, just hang with me. Yet a third view, known as premillennialism, prevails. Those in this stream of thought teach that the second coming of Jesus Christ will take place in the end of this present church age, and then will be ushered in a somewhat gradual manner, whereby peace and righteous reign, known as the earthly kingdom of God, during which time Christ will reign as king in person on the earth for 1,000 years. Wow, I'd be excited to hear this. Okay, now here's a rule that we're going by for interpretation. Take the Bible literally, where it is all possible. If symbolic, figurative, or typical language is used, then look for the literal truth it intends to convey. Now here's the scripture. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's 1 John 2, 1 through 2. Study that carefully. Scriptures tell us that when Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven from the Mount of Olives, he sat down on the right hand of God, and that's where he is at present. One would naturally wonder, why is he on the right hand of God? What's he doing? And what has he been doing through the 2,000 years span of grace? Well, these two verses of scripture from the first epistle of John tell us that he's our advocate as the atoning sacrifice for sins. In other words, he is my lawyer up in heaven to plead my case because, as the scripture tells us, Satan goes in and out of heaven, and he is the accuser of our brethren before our God day and night. That's Revelation 12 and verse 10 in the King James Version. Therefore, it's incorrect to teach that Jesus Christ is now king when, in all reality, he is our advocate with the Father. But he's definitely going to become king, and you'll see where. You must remember, in order to have king, there must be a throne. We just don't put an imaginary king on an imaginary throne, but a real lawful king must have a specific throne. And the scripture teaches us that when Jesus Christ becomes king over all this earth, he will have a little throne. That's coming from the future. Just hang loose. Scripture, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom shall be no end. Luke 1, 31 to 33. I'm going to be shouting again, so get ready. It just makes me happy. Four of those shalls have already been fulfilled. They are, number one, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. That's, of course, Mary, who's had Jesus supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And number two, and shalt call his name Jesus. That's what his name is. Three, he shall be great. Well, you already know that. He saved us. And four, shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, he's already up there. Now, let me point out to you the three remaining shalls, which have not been fulfilled as yet, but which must be fulfilled, and one of them has a specific direct relationship to the theme I've given to this lesson. Number one, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Two, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And three, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Can you imagine forever having him as our king? Wow, let's do it. The first of these three unfulfilled shalls has a direct bearing upon Jesus Christ being king over all the earth during the millennial reign. Of course, that's going to be 1,000 years. In 2 Samuel 7:16, God made three promises to David. Number one, his house would be established forever. Well, Jesus is akin to David, so there's your forever. He's going to be forever on the throne. Two, his kingdom would be established forever. Well, you just got that from the Bible. And three, his throne would be established forever. Again, that's the Bible. Luke, in his record of the gospel, affirms what was prophesied 1,000 years previously. The theme of Christ becoming king has its headquarters in the early portions of the Old Testament. Back in the book of Genesis, God gave a prophecy to Adam and Eve just as they were leaving the garden when he said, here's the scripture, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. Try to figure that one out. I think you'll know what that means. It has to do with what happened after they left the garden. Just kind of read through it. You'll get it. The Holy Spirit will show you. In this verse of Scripture, we have the biblical law of double reference. Time in all the Bible in this verse of Scripture. And the law of double reference, a visible creature is addressed. But certain statements also refer to an invisible person who is using this visible creature as an instrument. Nevertheless, two persons are involved in the same passage. In this portion of Scripture, God is talking to Adam in the form of a promise, telling him in so many words that the deliverer, the Savior of Christ, our coming King, would eventually arrive on the earth. Also in this verse of Scripture, we have authoritative confirmation relative to the seed of the woman, who was none other than Christ, and he is the only person entitled to inherit the throne of David and eventually become king over all the earth. Approximately 1,600 years later, we have the declaration in Scripture that Shem, one of the three sons of Noah, would be the head of a chosen race who would have a peculiar relationship with God. All divine revelations in Scripture since Shem have come through this image, or lineage. Christ, after the flesh, descended from the bloodline. Now here's the Scripture, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Genesis 9:26. About 400 years later, we have God identifying the nation with which the king to be would come. In this instance, God was talking to the man Abram, later was called Abraham. Scripture, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's Genesis 12, 1-3. May I suggest you also read Genesis 17, 18-21, and Genesis 22:18. Very interesting. Everywhere the Bible is. The cycle sweep of time skips approximately 475 years, and then the tribe from which the future king would come, identified in this manner, Scripture. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. The word scepter in this verse of Scripture has reference to government and rule, indicating the tribe of Judah shall be the ruling tribe, and from this tribe shall come the Messiah. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, or future king, who shall rule as King of Kings upon the earth during the millennial reign. Revelation 19:16. Prophet Zechariah was very much aware of this teaching of a king to sit on the throne of David in the last years, because Zechariah declared such in this manner. In the Scripture, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Zechariah 14 and verse 9. The first of Scripture refers to Jesus Christ, who's also Jehovah God. He's also as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit are. But yet, we will have a particular position of authority in the last days, because he will reign over all the earth during the millennial kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If one will accept Scripture at face value and honestly endeavor to look for the little truth the Bible conveys to this readers, that's, you know, the readers of the Bible, Whether its message be symbolic, figurative, or typical in language, there should really be no understanding or misunderstanding in element of confusion relative to Christ, our coming King. That's our topic for today. Okay. One tremendous factor in Holy Scripture, which I accept as the ironclad, unalterable rule of divine authority that Christ will eventually be an earthly king, is the cherished doctrine of the virgin birth. Pay attention to the word virgin as we go on. Writing 700 years before Christ's first coming, Isaiah declared in unmistakable clarion tones that a great phenomenon would eventually take place, and it would be that a virgin woman would bear a son. Now here's the scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. This verse of scripture refers exclusively to one virgin woman and one virgin-born child. It applies in an absolute definite manner to the virgin-born Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, who was yet to come some 700 years in the future at Isaiah's writing. This Emmanuel was the one who would someday occupy the throne of David in the future millennial kingdom. Writing in the book of Acts, Luke gives witness to the fact that the historical person, of course, that's Christ, prophesied throughout the scriptures would be a means of inspiration to the prophets, aren't you glad, that they might center their early gospel messages around the coming one, Emmanuel. To him, Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 10 and verse 43. And if you accepted Christ at the beginning of our lesson, you're going straight to heaven, so you don't have to worry about it no more. When one looks at the seemingly complicated problem of the two genealogies of Jesus Christ, he notes that Matthew gives the genealogy of Joseph. He says, Jacob begat Joseph, Matthew 1:16. In his table of genealogy, Matthew begins with Abraham, giving a royal bloodline through David, Solomon, and Joseph. But back in Joseph's bloodline, there was a situation about which God made a statement forbidding any of Joseph's line to sit on the throne of David. I suggest that you read Jeremiah 22:24-30. Right now, let's carefully note verse 30 of the portion of scripture here. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. That's Jeremiah 22 and verse 30. This verse upon Jehoiakim, or as he's all called, Kanoah, was that he should be childless as far as having a son to reign on the throne of David was concerned. No man of his seed was ever to reign in Judah anymore. Thus, the Davidic line of kings came to an end with this man, and yet the Messiah, which should come of David's seed, of the royal household, was not begotten of Joseph, because there was a taint of sin in his bloodline, had to be begotten of the Holy Spirit, that he might rightfully be the Son of God. In the Gospel according to Matthew, we have the genealogy of Joseph, but in Luke, we have the genealogy of Mary, whose father, Eli, was a direct descendant of David. Christ was a descendant of David, but in the realm of the supernatural, he was truly, as Isaiah prophesied, Emmanuel, God with us. Therefore, what better and more fitting circumstance for the birth of a king could there ever have been manifested than the Holy Spirit concerning Christ, our coming king, in the womb of the Virgin? During the time of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD by the Roman army, all genealogical records were destroyed. Therefore, Christ maintains the last and final claim upon the throne of David. He did so by his resurrection from the dead and the fact that he still lives, by the fact he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Today he is our advocate. In the ages to come, he will be our king. Scripture. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt that foal of an ass. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Of course, that's in the King James Version again. You note the words, thy king cometh unto thee. This was a definite prediction that the Messiah would be the king of the Jews or the king of Israel. This prophecy was fulfilled almost 500 years later under provincial circumstances described in this manner. It came to pass when he, that is Christ, was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, that's a mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent to his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. They were loosing the colt. The other owners of them said, why loose ye the colt? They said, the Lord hath need of them. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, Luke 19:29-30, 33-35, and 37-38. Read all that. It's very good. This portion of Scripture describes what is known as the triumphal entry. You'll note that Christ kept silent and did not rebuke the multitude, thereby accepting the title of king which they gave unto him. Later, when Christ stood in Pilate's judgment hall, you remember that Pilate made inquiry relative to Christ's kingly claims. Scripture, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Matthew 27:11. In the gospel according to John, there's more emphatic and definitive statement relative to Christ being a king, or should I say, eventually become king over all the earth, because the Jews rejected him at his first coming, and eventually Christ will be king. Now here's the scripture. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. This cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. John 18:37. Now, machinery of worship in the so-called religious world. Today, we have oftentimes ever emphasized the fact that Christ is the Savior of the world, while rarely ever do we show from Scripture that not only is he the Savior of the world, but he came also to eventually become king over all the earth. The claims of Christ to kingship were not really valid. The Jews would have denounced him as an imposter, pretender, but they didn't do so. Instead, in Christ's dying moments, they testify that he was the king of the Jews. Now, here's the scripture. Then delivered he, Pilate, him, Christ, therefore unto them should be crucified. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the king of the Jews, but he said, I am the king of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. John 19:16-19, and 31-33. 21-22, I'm sorry. Pilate acknowledged Christ as king of the Jews. Therefore, though Jesus Christ was really the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, and he came to this earth to lay down his life that men might be saved and Adamic sin might be forgiven once and for all time, it is the overall comprehensive picture relative to God's plan for the eventual culmination of the ages, Jesus Christ will be the king of this earth. It's true, the amillennialists and the postmillennialists do not adhere to order of interpretation, but the premillennialists, the evangelical Bible-believing ministers, and students of Holy Writ believe and teach that Jesus Christ will someday reign on this earth for 1,000 years as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is further borne out in Matthew's Gospel, wherein he describes the literal second advent of Christ to the earth. He most emphatically tells us that Christ will return as a king, and he will sit upon a little throne. Shall we now read those two verses of Scripture together? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Then shall the king, referring to Christ, say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, Matthew 25:31 and verse 34. See, it's obvious that we as Christians will be on the right hand, and then the goats on the left. We'll explain that later. So that's Matthew 25:31 and 34. You need to read there. There are approximately 300 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ, which picture him in various phases of his relationship to mankind. Many of these prophecies are relative to him as king. For instance, let us read two or three portions of Scripture so you'll see what I mean. When I say that although Christ is our Savior, yet he was Son of God to ultimately become king over the earth. Scripture, yet have I, of course that's God, set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Psalm 2 and verse 6. The Scripture has reference to God's king, the Messiah, who will reign on David's throne forever. Scripture, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up. The everlasting doors and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty as in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up. The everlasting doors and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. As Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. In these four verses of Scripture, one question, who is this King of glory, is asked in two occasions. This twice repeated question introduces the revelation as to who the King of glory is. Now, other than the strong Lord, the mighty Lord of battle, the Lord of hosts, our coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. David recognized Christ as the King of Israel. This is borne out in his writings where he says, for the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Psalm 89:18. This phrase, the Holy One, runs throughout the Old Testament. We find it mentioned continually in the Psalms, and we know it has reference to Jesus Christ because the following verse of Scripture, we find it in the prophecy relative to Christ's crucifixion. And here's the Scripture, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, Jesus Christ, to see corruption. That's Psalms 16:10. Of course, that's the King James Version. This phrase, suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, refers to Christ's physical body, proving that Christ came from the grave bodily and not as an invisible spirit, and further establishing the fact that putrefaction and decay did not set in because it was prophesied 1,000 years in advance that God's Holy One, Jesus Christ, would not see corruption. This theme or phrase, Holy One, is not only in the Psalms, but it's carried over into Isaiah's writings. Another scripture, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Isaiah 10 and verse 20. Therefore, we must realize that the Holy One of Israel, the incarnate Christ, the virgin-born Son of God will eventually come back to this earth and right the wrongs of mankind, establishing a reign of righteousness upon the earth for a full and complete millennium. It will establish in Scripture, and we'll now share a portion of this Bible proof together. Now, here's the Scripture. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, and of course this is in KJV again. The Apostle Paul tells us about circumstances near the close of the millennial reign of righteousness in this manner. Okay, here's the Scripture. Then cometh the end, when he, Christ, our coming King, shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he, Christ, shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We're going to live forever after this world. So get happy now, because as a Christian, you've got everything going up from here on. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he, that is God, shall say all things have put under him, Christ, it is manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him, Christ. When all things shall be subdued unto him, Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him, Christ, that God may be all in all. That's also beautiful. 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. In the year of Queen Victoria's coronation, she attended a public performance of Handel's Messiah. She'd been instructed by her court advisors that the audience would rise and remain standing during the Hallelujah chorus. But since she was the Queen of England, it was her royal to remain seated if she so desired. When the magnificent Hallelujah Chorus began, the vast audience rose reverently to their feet in rapturous admiration. At first, there was a struggle in the Queen's heart between the wish to observe court etiquette and the instincts of her devoted love for her Savior, whom she honored and served. When the singers and orchestra came to that inspiring passage, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Queen Victoria rose to her feet in the royal box, an absolute witness for her Christ, her Lord, and her coming King. Are you looking forward to serving him not only in the countless ages of God's eternities, but during the millennial reign of righteousness upon this earth, when, as the scripture says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall be one Lord, and his name one, Zechariah 14 and verse 9. And the next lesson will be Christ and Laodicea.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about Christ, our coming king. Amen. But right now we're going to pause for station ID and a little message about the great programming only found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. With great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah. We're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your favorite story about David and why? What is your favorite story about David and why? It's that time. It's open mic time.
All right. And Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we always got God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then, of course, we got a band of angels around. Then we got you, Sister Emily, her dad, and me.
All right. Well, while we're getting Emily to get herself there, we're going to let you start out, Ruth. What is your favorite story about David and why?
Well, there's a lot of good ones, but I actually like the one when he was chosen out of all his brothers, and they didn't like the fact that he was so little and he was a shepherd, and they probably was jealous and all that. But, you know, God chose him for a reason, and we will do that as we progress in the story more. I don't want to just mess it up for other people, so I'm just going to leave it.
Okay, so the story that we heard today. Okay. All right, and Emily, your turn. Get your coffee.
I hit the wrong button, and I'm going to turn myself up.
All right. So first off, any questions on the material we presented?
Nope.
Okay. And what is your favorite story of David? Any story that you know about David? And what is your favorite story and why?
The one of David and Goliath.
Okay. And why would you say that one?
because of him being the youngest and being maybe small in height, they didn't think he could handle Goliath, but he proved wrong.
Ah. All right. Well, I'm going to kind of give you my answer on this. Mine is, I know some people are going to say, why that one? Well, I'll tell you why. Is when David was hiding out from Saul, and he had a yearning to have a drink of water from the well at Bethlehem. And so some of his men, David being a soldier, so some of David's soldier men went, broke through the enemy lines, got the water, brought it to David, and David says, look, this was the men going in jeopardy of their lives, so he poured it out, poured the water out before the Lord, said, I won't drink it. And the reason for that being my favorite story is just for that reason, that David said, look, men risked their lives to get this water. Why am I going to sit there and drink something that they risked their lives for? So he's like, basically, hey, if I wanted water that bad, I could go over to the creek and get it, but I'm not going to have someone risk their life for it. Amen. All right. So with that, and everybody being good, we're going to, Em, it's up to you if you want to give us a closing prayer or not. Hello? Did you mute yourself again? Oh, I think she did, Rue. So I'll let you handle it, okay?
All right. Dear precious Lord, we thank you for the program. I hope somebody got blessed by it. And with all the people in all them countries, I hope they got real blessed. And we just want to praise and bless your name for all you do. And we just want to serve you forever. Love you, sweetheart. Amen.
Amen. All right. And just remind everybody about the open programming tomorrow night. And then, of course, the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Eastern, here on the Success Radio Network. And then, of course, Motivational Monday, 9 p.m., The Word of the King, 8 p.m. Then we go into the Wednesday night Bible study, 7 p.m., and then 9 p.m., we come back with Brother Quick on the Jumbo Braille program, 9 p.m., and then we're back here again for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show, 9 p.m. this coming up week. So we'll be glad to have you for any and all the shows. And we'll catch you then, and we're going to close now with this Red Soul Vine song. We hope you enjoy.